Of traditional Tikopia's 7 methods of population regulation, the simplest was contraception by coitus interruptus. Another method was abortion, induced by pressing on the belly or placing hot stones on the belly of a pregnant woman near term. Alternatively, infanticide was carried out by burying alive, smothering, or turning a newborn infant on its face. Younger sons of families poor in land remained celibate, and many among the resulting surplus of marriageable women also remained celibate, rather than enter into polygamous marriages. Celibacy in Tikopia means not having children and does not preclude having sex by coitus interruptus, and then resorting to abortion or infanticide if necessary. Still another method was suicide, of which there were 7 known cases by hanging and 12 by swimming out to sea between 1929 and 1952. Much commoner than explicit suicide was virtual suicide, by setting out on dangerous overseas voyages. Such sea voyaging accounted for more than 1/3 of all deaths of young bachelors. The 7th method of population regulation was not operating during Firth's visits, but was reported to him by oral traditions. Sometime in the 1600s or early 1700s, Tikopia's former large saltwater bay became converted into the current brackish lake by the closing off of a sandbar across its mouth. That resulted in the death of the rich shellfish beds and a drastic decrease in fish populations, hence in starvation for the Ngaariki clan living on that part of Tikopia at that time. The clan reacted to acquire more land and coastline for itself by attacking and exterminating the Ngaarawenga clan. A generation or two later, the Ngaariki attacked the remaining Ngaafaea clan, who fled the island in canoes, thereby committing virtual suicide rather than await their deaths by murder on land. Most of these 7 methods for keeping Tikopia's population constant have disappeared or declined under European influence during the 20th century. As a result, Tikopia's population grew from its 1929 level of 1,278 people to 1,753 people by 1952, when 2 destructive cyclones within the span of 13 months destroyed half of Tikopia's crops and caused widespread famine. The British Solomon Islands colonial government responded by sending food, and then dealt with a long-term problem by encouraging Tikopians to resettle onto less populated Solomon Islands. Today, Tikopia's chiefs limit the number who reside on their island to 1,115 people. How and when did Tikopia's remarkable sustainable economy arise? The island was first settled around 900 BC by Lapita people, ancestral to the modern Polynesians. Those first settlers made a heavy impact on the island's environment. Remains of charcoal at archaeological sites show they cleared forest by burning it. They feasted on breeding colonies of seabirds, landbirds, and fruit bats, and on fish, shellfish, and sea turtles. Within 1,000 years, the populations of 5 bird species were extirpated. Also, in that first millennium, archaeological middens reveal the virtual elimination of fruit bats, a 3-fold decrease in fish and bird bones, and a 10-fold decrease in shellfish. Around 100 BC, the economy began to change. Over the next 1,000 years, charcoal accumulation ceased, and remains of native almonds appeared, indicating that Tikopians were abandoning slash-and-burn agriculture in favor of maintaining orchards with nut trees. To compensate for the drastic declines in birds and seafood, people shifted to intensive husbandry of pigs, which came to account for nearly half of all protein consumed. An abrupt change in economy and artifacts around AD 1200 marks the arrival of Polynesians from the east. It was Polynesians who brought with them the technique of fermenting and storing breadfruit in pits. A momentous decision taken consciously around 1600 was the killing of every pig on the island, to be replaced as protein sources by an increase in consumption of fish, shellfish, and turtles. According to Tikopians' accounts, their ancestors had made that decision because pigs raided and rooted up gardens, competed with humans for food, were an inefficient means to feed humans, it takes about 10 pounds of vegetables to produce 1 pound of pork, and had become a luxury food for the chiefs. The evolution of Tikopian subsistence is better described by the bottom-up metaphor than by the top-down metaphor. One can walk all the way around the coastline in under half a day, so that every Tikopean is familiar with the entire island. The population is small enough that every resident can also know all other residents individually. Tikopia's chiefs do serve as the overlords of clan lands and canoes, and they redistribute resources. By Polynesian standards, however, Tikopia is among the least stratified chiefdoms with the weakest chiefs. Chiefs and their families produce their own food and dig in their own gardens and orchards, as do commoners. Thus, that role of Tikopian chiefs represents much less top-down management than does the role of the leaders of the remaining society that we shall now discuss.